Mike Wilson Show on WWGH. And the person I have in the studio with me is no stranger to the station. He talks to Charlie pretty often. And an old friend, well, I won't say old, but...
Say old, I'm old, I'm old.
Long time friend, Fred Malone. I think you recognize that voice.
Thanks, Mike.
And I told Fred you can talk about whatever you want to today. So Fred is part of the Marion County Historical Society, Malabar Farms.
Mohawk Historical
Mohawk,
Society. Yeah,
it.
We're going to talk a little bit about all of them today, at least a little bit.
Okay. So.
But I don't mind being called old because I'm getting up there in years, getting along, a little long in the tooth. And interestingly enough, we were just talking before we went on air about a fellow that wrote a book about Bigfoot. You know, and I'm a great proponent of Bigfoot. My wife thinks I'm nuts, but but I do believe that there are things in the woods that we don't know anything about.
And
from what he was saying, you know, this book was written about. Possibly the Wayne National Forest, which takes in a whole chunk of southeastern Ohio, a lot of it being in Benton County and Athens County, a portion of it in Hocking County. Oh, thank you very much. He just brought me a copy of it in. The Foot Brothers, Their Life and Times. Interesting. I'll have to read this. But anyway, when I was a student at Ohio University, about 100 years ago, I had an anthropology professor down there that spent his summers searching for Bigfoot in the Wayne National Forest, mostly in Benton County. MacArthur is the county seat of Benton County, for those that may not know their county seats here in Ohio. And if you are familiar with the Wayne National Forest at all, you will know that it is one of the more dense forests in the United States. In fact, they claim there are areas of the Wayne National Forest that no modern-day human has set foot in. So it's quite possible that there are creatures living in the Wayne National Forest that we don't know anything about. In fact, bobcats, of which coincidentally is the mascot name for the Ohio University bobcats, bobcats have started to make a resurgence in southern Ohio, especially southeastern Ohio. And a lot of that, of course, is coming out of the Wayne National Forest. So I'm not going to discount that the possibility that there is such a thing called a Bigfoot that may roam around the hills of southern Ohio, because there are a lot of crazy things that happen in southern Ohio, believe me. Having grown up there and having spent, the first 27 years of my life there, and having gone to a high university where a lot of crazy things went on, especially during the 60s, anything is within the realm of possibility. So,
I mean, we don't have any way to discount that and say that it's not so.
No, for sure. For sure. And absolutely. And I'd be interested in maybe getting together with this gentleman sometime. And Arthur Jude with Dick Hoy is the author of this book. Arthur Jude. Like to know a little bit more about him, and maybe some night we can do a show and have him in and talk a little bit about
that.
I think that'd be very interesting.
Well,
and I like to participate in that simply because I've got an interest in it. You know, there's a show on one of the satellite channels, and I'm not sure which one it is. I have DirecTV, so I'm not sure which one it is, Discovery Channel or one of those. But there's two different groups of people that hunt these Bigfoots throughout the United States, and a lot of where they spend their time are in places like Perry County and over in the Cambridge area where Salt Fork State Park is, down in southern Ohio. Mm-hmm. In fact, they say there's a tremendous amount of activity that goes on in Salt Fork State Park with this Bigfoot sightings, and a lot of people have, you know, made sightings on it. It's not unlike what went on back in the 40s, 50s, and early 60s with the UFO sightings,
certainly,
you know, that took place. In fact, there's a TV show on now, I think, based on Dr. Hynek's book about UFOs that were occurring back in the 50s and 60s. I don't know whether you've seen any of that or not, but I think it's called Project Blue Book, the name of the show, and that was also the name of his book that he wrote, was Project Blue Book. So anyway, I digress and I stray off. I do that quite often.
Before we leave Bigfoot, would the plural be Bigfoots?
I don't know.
Big feet?
That's interesting. I don't know. Good question. Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I kind of like the sound of big feet myself. But
yeah, I kind of do. Yeah, being from Southern Ohio.
Yeah, right. You know. In fact, I can conjure up a Southern Ohio accent whenever I need to. In fact, I've heard that. When I portray a couple of characters for the Historical Society, especially James Polk, who was from Tennessee and migrated to North Carolina as a youth, I can pull up that Southern accent pretty well. And remember, I said youth, not ute.
Yes,
because that would be Bronx in New York.
Yes,
so,
yes.
Yeah. Well, anyway, Mike, I thought you told me that the subject could be open tonight.
Certainly.
Me and several of the organizations that I'm currently involved in, being Marion County Historical Society for one, the Mohawk Historical Society being located in Sycamore, lovely downtown Sycamore, Ohio, which is up in Wyandotte County, and also the Malabar Farm State Park and the Malabar Farm Foundation located at in Lucas, Ohio, over in Richland County. We've just gotten all of our yearly schedules developed, and I thought maybe tonight we could spend a little time maybe on each one of them talking about some of the things that are going to be coming up this year for the various organizations. And you yourself, Mike, have been a volunteer for Malabar Farm Foundation last year, and I'm hoping now that I've got you on the spot, I can commit you to this coming year also. You were very gracious in helping at our barn dances last year. I think you had a good time.
Oh, it was. It
you
was.
Know, it's they're really great. We'll talk a little bit more about those later. But when I didn't bring any extra copies of my schedules tonight, but I will make sure that you get a copy of the schedule for Malabar.
I would be very interested.
So that you can put all those dates down on your calendar. And when we get to Malabar, we're going to talk about another event that we have there that I'm also going to try to rope Mike into, because he does characters for the Marion County Historical Society as well. So,
I've been told I am a character.
I don't know
what they mean by that. But
I've had that label for years. So, in fact, my wife says she sometimes doesn't know who she's sleeping with until she gets up in the morning and sees what clothes I put on. It could be somebody from the 17th or 18th century, or it could be me. You know, you just never know. So, but that's the fun of it. And you know, I say this, where else can you be 60-some years old or older and still get to play dress-up? You know, hey, it's you know, the people that do reenacting and do characters for various organizations, not just ones that I'm involved in, but, you know, Civil War reenactors, Revolutionary War reenactors, War of 1812, doesn't make a difference what you're doing. Steampunk, doesn't matter. People do research on the characters that they perform or that they are
portraying
or reenacting, and a lot of time and effort goes into preparing for those characters. So you have to give credit to those folks that spend that time and all that effort in creating these characters or recreating these characters or bringing these people back to life who have been dead for, you know, how many years. It does involve a lot of work, so I have a lot of admiration for those people that do that. But I thought we'd start out with the Marion County Historical Society, since we're obviously in Marion, and that's very near and dear to my heart, having been a past president of the organization and still on the board there, and still remain pretty active in mostly the reenacting these days. I don't do too much with the inner workings of the museum itself anymore, other than being on the board. But I like to think that what we do with the reenacting and the events that we hold at the Marion County Historical Society, that we are actually trying to bring history to life for people. You know, it's history can be a dry subject if you make it so. And a lot of people think history's dry because they were forced to read it in a textbook.
Memorize this date.
Yeah, exactly. So they kind of get the impression that when you say history, oh, yeah, that was that stuff I had to learn in high school or in grade school, and I'm glad to be done with it. But by doing reenacting, we are actually bringing that history alive, and I think it's a lot easier for people to learn history if they can see it portrayed in front of them.
Certainly.
Rather than have to read it in a book. And a lot of people don't like to sit down and read. I'm the exception to the rule, but there are people that would rather have it taught to them by virtue of a reenactment or a program or a play or some sort such venue as that. So that's what we kind of pride ourselves in at the Marion County Historical Society, and that's kind of been my venue for the last couple of years since I have not been president. But March, of course, is on us, and one of our most exciting events is coming up here in a couple of weeks, and you're going to be a big part of that.
I will be there, yes.
Yes, absolutely, and that's our annual night at Heritage Hall. Now, it's easy if I explain what Night at Heritage Hall is by saying, if you've ever seen the movie Night at the Museum, you'll know what Night at Heritage Hall is, because we go along the same pretext that the movie takes place. We darken our museum. You enter the museum, we give you a flashlight, and you start roaming through the museum, just like if you were at the night at the museum in the movie. And the characters actually come alive. And we try to have anywhere between 30 and 50 characters, depending on how much volunteer activity we get for the program. But we try to have between 30 and 50 characters there. And those characters, again, will have studied their person, or in some cases they'll be portraying a member of their family, which like you are, right? Yes. And who are you portraying again this year?
My great-uncle, Harvey Wilson, that had a Wilson's Clover Farm store out on North Main Street.
There.
That eventually became Smith's Cardinal Market.
And you'll be in the general store.
Yes.
So you'll be portraying your great-uncle in the general store. So you'll see that in a lot of cases. I know John Eager always usually portrays someone in his family, and there are other people that do that. But we not only have characters from Marion's history, but we have characters from Ohio's history as well as U.S. history. So we try to cover all of the fields. And this year's going to be a little bit different. I should mention, by the way, the dates, and I'll do this a couple of times because if I don't, I'll forget. But March 22nd and 23rd, it's always on a Friday and Saturday at 7 o'clock, and the hours run from 7 to 9. The doors open at 7, and you can stay the entire 2 hours. You can stay 30 minutes. You can stay an hour. It's all up to you, however much time you want to spend there. But the actual event runs from 7 to 9 on Friday, March the 22nd, and Saturday, March the 23rd. And it's at Heritage Hall, which is in the old post office building, for those people that don't know where Heritage Hall is or may not have been there before. And there's plenty of parking. There's a lot of parking behind our building right off of State Street, or you can park in the church lot directly across State Street behind the True Home. There's always a lot of parking there. But anyway, it starts at 7 o'clock, and you can buy your tickets in advance by calling the museum at 740-387-4255, or you can buy them at the door. There is, I think, a dollar off if you buy them ahead of time, but it's still a reasonable price. Sorry to say, I can't remember the price, which, you know, that's because I'm old. I think it's $7 or $8. If you're a member, though, it's like half of that. So that's another good reason to be a member of the Marion County Historical Society. If you belong to the Historical Society, a lot of the events that we have, you get a cut rate on. But come and join us. This year, it's going to be something a little bit different because the Marion County Historical Society is celebrating our 50th year of operation. We started in 1969, and of course it's 2019 now. So as part of our 50-year celebration and the fact that we started the Historical Society in 1969, our main exhibit this year in the atrium upstairs on the main floor is going to center around the 1960s, and especially 1969. A lot of things took place in 1969. Right off the top of my head, I can remember the moon landing took place in 1969.
I do believe one of those astronauts is going to be there.
I heard that John Glenn is going to make an appearance. Yes, right, absolutely. But also, to the same regard, we're going to have Lyndon Johnson and Lady Bird Johnson are going to be there, I think, for both Friday night and Saturday night. So centering on the 50th anniversary in the 1960s and what took place in the 1960s, and it's hard for me to believe that a lot of people weren't around in the 1960s.
It's hard to believe, isn't it?
And especially a lot of our younger kids that participate. A lot of our folks bring their children and grandchildren to the event, so we get a lot of younger kids there. So it's going to be a real good education for them to see what took place in the 1960s. Also know that Elvis is going to be making an appearance this year. Elvis is going to be there, yeah.
Okay.
So who was a very popular person going on in the 1960s. So those are just some of the few that I know that will be there. I think Benjamin Harrison and his lovely wife Caroline will be there, and I think Andrew Johnson and his wife will be there. those are some of the presidents that I can think of that will be there. We'll also have probably some Civil War soldiers and possibly a Vietnam War soldier and just various other people from Marion's history. So, again, that's going to take place on March the 22nd and 23rd, Friday and Saturday. Starts at 7, runs until 9. Come and spend the whole 2 hours with us or whatever time you can spare.
I do have those admission prices.
Oh, good, good.
Like.
Go ahead and get them.
For members, pre-registration is $350. At the door, the tickets are $4. If you are a non-member, if you register ahead of time, it's $7. And if you get your ticket at the door, it's $8.
Still a very reasonable price. And I might add, too, Mike, and you'll know this, we've had people come from all over the state of Ohio to attend this event. And I think, and I'll have to check with Brandy, but I think this is either our 12th or 13th year of doing this event. So it's been something that Gail Martin started years ago when she was director of the Historical Society, and it's carried on every year. And to my knowledge, we have no thoughts of ever disbanding this event because it's been popular every year we've had it. So again, Friday the 22nd and the 23rd of this month at 7 o'clock, you'll park behind the museum or across the street at the church parking lot and enter through the auditorium, the downstairs entrance, and there'll be a sign there directing you. And they'll say your ticket's right there at the door if you haven't gotten them already and give you a flashlight, and you're on your own from that point on. And I will say our reenactors are very good about coming up and engaging you in conversation. They'll introduce themselves, tell you who they are and what they're about. And generally, if you've got questions for them, they're pretty good at answering questions as well. So, and let me know when we're getting close to a break.
Oh, we're good.
Okay.
We have no breaks, by the way.
Oh, okay, great. So. That takes care of March. So moving into April, and by the way, we are currently open on weekends. The first weekend, March, was our first weekend to be open. So right now we're open on Sundays, Saturdays and Sundays from 1 to 4. And that will carry on into June when we open, I'm sorry, May when we open 5 days a week. So moving into April, the big event in April, other than our normal, you know, trustees meetings and that type of thing, is the Time Travelers Fair. And did you participate in that last year?
I actually sold concessions last year.
Okay, all right. I wasn't there myself. I had another event going on at Malabar that day, so I couldn't be there. But this year, the Time Travelers Fair will take place on Saturday, April the 27th, and it starts at noon. Now, this is something new. I think last year it started at noon as well, but prior to this, they had always done this in the evening.
Yes.
And they found that the attendance was much better last year when they changed it to a daytime activity than rather an evening. So they're going to stick with that 12 o'clock starting time, and I think it runs from 12 to 5, if I'm not mistaken.
I believe you're right on that.
It doesn't say on my schedule here, but I think it runs until 5 o'clock. This will take place at the Tri-Rivers Career Center, and it will be held in several different rooms over there. I think both the auditorium, the cafeteria, the hallways, and some other rooms where they've got, like, silent movies and that type of thing going on. So this is a really interesting event. You can come as any character that you want, either from past history, present history, or sometime in the future, if you're so inclined. And that's where the steampunk thing, I think, comes in somewhat. And I'm not quite sure I completely understand the steampunk theory.
I don't.
But anyway, there are a lot of younger people that get into the steampunk, and they dress accordingly. But I know this year that some of the people that I know will be there. Of course, Queen Elizabeth's going to be coming back again. So if you've always wanted to be knighted by Queen Elizabeth, hey, here's your shot, you know. You could be just like Sir Paul and, you know, some of these people. She'll be there. I've also heard that they're going to have a some sort of a vaudeville show, which will include Mark Twain, who will be making an appearance there. And so you just never know who you might see there. I mean, good heavens. Some of the people in past years, can you kind of help me out on that? Who have you seen there doing concessions? Anybody in particular?
I know Abbott and Costello were there 2 years ago during the vaudeville show.
Yep, I heard that they were to be there.
Oh,
Will Rogers, I think, is going to be there this year, right?
Yes, he is.
Right?
I heard that.
Right,
yes,
right.
Yes.
Will Rogers. Almost forgot about that one. Well, anyway, the whole key to it is come dressed in whatever character that you've always wanted to be. Mm-hmm. And if I remember correctly, it's only $5 to get in.
I believe that's right.
Yeah, I think that's the – I don't have the price on this, but I think it's $5 to get in. So that's going to be an exciting event, and I think this is maybe like the fifth or sixth year they've done this.
I think it's the sixth, I do believe. Sixth.
I know the first year they did it was down at the Harding Hotel, mm-hmm. and then they moved it out to Tri Rivers. I think it's been at Tri Rivers ever since. I helped on a couple of the earlier years, but the last couple of years I've had conflicts and haven't been able to be there. But this is Doug Ebert's Pride and Joy. Doug kind of runs the show, and he's done an excellent job with it. And hopefully this will be another good event for them this year. I think they've always had people from the Renaissance Fair that are there, too.
Yes, they do.
I know they've had pirates there in the past, and they've done sword fighting and all kinds of stuff like that. So this one is a good one to bring your youngsters to because it is a day event. Noon to 5, very reasonably priced. I would imagine that they'll have some sort of food there. I think there's a tea also.
Yes, I think you have to register for the tea as you come in. I'm going to say this. I'm not absolutely sure it's true this year, but the tea in the past has been an extra charge.
Yeah, I believe I heard that too. Right, I heard that too. But anyway, check it out. That's April the 27th on a Saturday from 12 to 5, the Time Travelers Fair at the Tri Rivers Career Center.
And there are pony rides for the little ones.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I forgot about that. Thank you, Mike.
Yes.
I'm glad you're on the ball. At least one of us is. So that pretty well wraps up April. There's not a whole lot going on in April with the exception of that. We do have a volunteer open house, I should mention. That's on April the 11th. And that's for anybody that is a current volunteer to come in and have some cookies and coffee and kind of, you know, sit around and reminisce. And if you want to be a volunteer, that would be a good night to show up and meet some of the people that are already currently volunteering.
Most certainly.
So that's April the 11th. That's on a Thursday evening at 6 o'clock. All right.
Back to the Time Traveler's Ball. Yes, I'm confirming here it is $5 per person. Children under 10 get in free with a paid
adult.
So make sure that you... Don't just send the kids.
Yeah, don't send the kids. Come with them.
Yes.
Don't let them drive down 309. It's kind of dangerous. or 95, either one.
The Victorian tea is an additional $5.
Okay, very good. All right, moving on to May. Again, starting in May, the museum is open Wednesday through Sunday from 1 to 4, closed on Mondays and Tuesdays. And the first big thing happening in May is our annual rummage sale. And that is May 11th on Saturday at 9 o'clock. That's for the general public. Here again, if you are a member of the Marion County Historical Society, you can get in the day before on Friday and get the kind of pick of what's there. You get to kind of cherry pick the stuff that's there. And that opens for members at 4 o'clock. And again, that's for members only. You have to be a paid member, have a membership, or if you want to buy a membership that day, you can do that, and then you'll get in early. But otherwise, it's on Saturday at 9 o'clock, and it usually runs until about 4 or 5 o'clock in the afternoon. And we usually have a lot of great things to pick from. Oftentimes, we will get things given to the Marion County Historical Society that we may already have two or three of. And when people donate items to the Historical Society, we give them the option of either making it an unconditional donation where it cannot leave the museum, or it can be with conditions, being if we have more than one or two or three, we can sell that for the good of the museum.
Sure.
So sometimes we have items that may be in the collection, but we already have more than one or two of, and we will sell some of those things. So again, if you're a member of the Historical Society, you get an opportunity to take a look at those things first. So that's another good reason to join up. So then moving on at the end of the month, well, I should mention this, even though it's not an indoor activity, but the Marion County Historical Society always participates in the Waldo Memorial Day Parade, and I've done that for a number of years.
Yes. I think I rode on the float last year.
You did.
Yes.
You did, absolutely. We have several Civil War soldiers that ride on the float, some other pioneers and so forth, and that's May the 19th on a Sunday at 12 o'clock. And obviously, it's held in downtown Waldo, commences at the far end of town, on the north end of town, and goes all the way out and concludes at the cemetery, where there is a ceremony held at the cemetery. And then the 121st OVI, we'll have the James Cannon there, and we'll fire off the cannon in the cemetery. So that's always exciting to see as well. And then there's a lunch held at the American Legion Hall, which is just down the street from the cemetery, following the activities that take place in the cemetery. And again, that's May 19th on a Sunday at noon. Yeah, it's kind of a nice parade, too, for a little village the size of Waldo.
Yeah, I was surprised at the size of that parade last year. That was very impressive.
Yeah, and out at the cemetery, there were a tremendous amount of people out there. Mm-hmm. I was surprised, too. That was the first time I'd participated in it. There again, I've always had a conflict on that particular date with some other organization that I've been involved with. But last year, I was free and was able to do it, and I'm hoping that it doesn't conflict with anything this year. If it doesn't, I'll plan on being there again, because I really did enjoy it. And now that I've become the powder monkey for the James Cannon, you know, they may need my services. They give me the least important job, believe me, as powder monkey.
Okay, I'm going to ask, what exactly does the powder
monkey
do?
What does a powder monkey do? I knew you were going to, and thank you. I'm glad you did. The powder monkey stays behind the cannon, back where the charges are kept. All right, so it's my responsibility when the sergeant-at-arms calls for the charge. I take the charge out of the big box, and I carry it up to the cannoneer, and they drop the charge, and I get the heck out of there.
Oh, okay. Good idea.
That's why they call me a powder monkey, because I'm only dealing with the powder, and I'm just a little monkey running around there. So, but it's a lot of fun, and I do enjoy it, and I get a chance to dress up in that nice, pretty blue uniform, you know, which just makes me feel good. And I did have a couple of relatives in the Civil War, so.
Okay.
But our big event in May, obviously, is May 30th, and that's our lunch with the presidents. This event is primarily... We started doing the lunches with the presidents to accommodate a lot of people that weren't able to go to dinners because they don't like to travel after dark. A lot of our older people don't like to travel after dark. I'm getting that way myself. And also for large groups of people coming from other areas. Now, we do a lot of bus trips, bus tours, come into town, and they'll do lunch with the presidents as part of their tour of Marion while they're here. They'll go to the Harding home. They'll go to the memorial. They'll go to the palace, they'll go to the Union Station, and they include lunch with the presidents as part of their deal. They got to eat, you know, they got to eat. And this gives them the entertainment of being able to have lunch with several U.S. presidents. And we have had as many as six or as few as six and as many as nine speaking at one of these luncheons. So people have really enjoyed this. And we do open it up to folks here in Marion if they want to buy a ticket as well. Obviously, it's not particularly closed just to people out of town coming in. It's also available to those people in Marion that want to buy a ticket. So mark that on your calendar, May 30th, Thursday, 11:30. And we usually try to finish by 1 o'clock, again, because people on buses have to usually be someplace else. So we try to wrap it up within an hour and a half, sometimes an hour and 45 minutes. But we usually are out of there by 1:15, 1:30 at the absolute latest. And again, it's the same basic format as the dinner with the presidents, with the exception that it doesn't have all the pomp and circumstance.
Right, right.
All the ceremony. We don't have the guards and all that type of thing. But you do get the foods that those presidents ate while they were in the White House. So that's kind of an interesting thing.
It's always delicious, too.
Always delicious. And that's being held at Tri-Rivers in the auditorium. So if you're interested in more information about that, you can either go to our website at MarionCountyHistory.com. Or you can call the museum at 740-387-4255, and they can give you more information on that. They can even sell you tickets because the tickets are on sale right now. I'm going to cover June, and then I'm going to move on to the other couple of organizations.
Well, there's one other thing going on May 4th. Do you know what's going on May 4th?
May 4th. I don't have it on my calendar.
Well, the Lynn School will open for
the season. Yes, you're absolutely right.
Yeah.
Only I've got it down as May 5th.
Okay, well, the website says May 4th, so...
Whichever.
One of the two.
Whichever. Whatever's to say, it'll be open Saturday and Sunday. Right. 1 to 4. Thank you, Mike. I appreciate that. Moving on to June. Blast from the Past begins. This is something that's been going on for a number of years. It's now being held off-site, so if you want more information on Blast from the Past, it starts June the 10th. You'll need to call the museum and get the information on that. And then on June the 20th, we'll be cleaning the log house and getting it ready for the Marion County Fair, which starts on July the 4th. No, July the 1st. I'm sorry. Yeah, July the 1st. So that pretty well takes us up to July on that. Moving on to the Malabar Farm.
All right.
Because we're running out of time.
About 16, 17 minutes here.
Yeah. Well, as I said before, Mike has been a volunteer at Malabar much of last year with our barn dances, and
I didn't dance though.
I don't dance either. We just do the concessions, you know. But our big event in March is already over with, so I'm going to pass on that. That was the annual Maple Syrup Festival that took place over the last two weekends. That's a great event. Keep it in mind for next year.
It's a sweet event.
It is a sweet event. Yeah, and you can even taste. You can even taste that stuff too.
Yes.
Starting in April, April the 26th through the 28th is Mohican Wildlife Weekend. A lot of things going on. Now, a lot of these things are being done in conjunction with the Mohican Wildlife Weekend. So we're working with not only Malabar Farm Foundation, the Malabar State Farm Park, but also the Mohican Wildlife folks that come in. So some of the things that you can do on those 3 days, there's a wildflower hike on Saturday. There's a wild edibles walk on Saturday, and there's a vernal pool study on Saturday. Now, that's kind of interesting. If you don't know what a vernal pool is, those are pools of water that forms in depressions in the earth that aren't generally pools of water. In other words, in the springtime, they'll form because the snow has melted off or we've had a lot of excess rain.
Okay.
So that's called a vernal pool. And there are a lot of interesting critters that live in these vernal pools. Little tiny shrimp, all kinds of little tiny fishes and amoeba and things like that. And one of our park rangers will take you on a guided tour, and you'll have a chance to explore those vernal pools and look at some of these little critters through microscopes. The Malabar Farm Foundation last year purchased a number of microscopes to be used specifically for the vernal pool exploration that takes place in April every year. So if you've never been on one of those, that's kind of fun. Now, that runs from 11 to 12:30 on Saturday, the 27th. On Saturday also is the barn dance, a wildlife barn dance from 7 to 10. Now, normally, the Malabar Park Foundation does not participate in that one. That one is usually operated by the Mohican Wildlife people. But still, it's a barn dance, and you should take part in that. There's a mushroom hike also on Saturday, 2 to 4, and then there's one on Sunday from 10 to 12. And, of course, as you know, that time of the year, the morels are starting to pop up out of the ground, mm-hmm. or morels, depending on how you pronounce it. So you might have an opportunity to pick yourself some fresh mushrooms. And if you have ever had fresh spring mushrooms that you picked yourself in the state of Ohio, they're absolutely delicious.
Well, they are, yes.
They beat the heck out of store-bought mushrooms any day of the week. Also on Saturday and Sunday is the Grass Caterpillar Kids Activity. Not quite sure what all that entails, but there again, those are activities for the kids. There's a scavenger hunt both on Saturday and Sunday for the family from 12 to 4. There's a birding hike on Sunday from 1 to 3. And then on Sunday at 1 o'clock, there'll be coffee, and you can discuss some various things that take place in the park. So a lot of activities taking place. The barn dance starts at 7 and runs until 10. It's a dollar donation per person. And this is a tradition that Louis Brumfield started back in 1941 when the big barn was first completed. And with the exception of 1 year in 1994 when the barn burnt, it's been taking place every year. So it's a tradition that the Malabar Farm Foundation has been carrying on ever since 1941. So we're pretty proud of that.
Mm-hmm.
And those events, those barn dances, take place once a month starting in April, and they run clear up through May. And I'll just give you the dates on those. And by the way, you can go to our website at malabarfarm.org and get all of this information from it just by clicking on events. There's an event schedule on the website. I know I'm covering an awful lot of stuff really quickly, but the Barn Dance in May is on the 25th. They're always on a Saturday night, 25th of May. There is no Barn Dance in June. There's one in July on the 6th of July. That's our annual 4th of July Barn Dance. Then there's one that takes place on August the 3rd. And this year we're going to have another one in August, which is an unusual thing, but it's going to be the 25th anniversary of the barn raising, which took place when the big barn burnt. So the 25th anniversary of the barn rebuilding. And that is on the last Saturday in the month for the 25th anniversary. Then moving on to September, we have one on the 28th, and the final barn dance in October is the 26th. And again, they run from 7 to 10, and it's $1 to get in. And we have the same band every barn dance. It's called the Back Porch Swing Band, and they're a local band that does round and square dancing in the area, and actually all over the state of Ohio. And they're an excellent band. If you've never square danced before, you come, people will teach you. And as Mike can testify, we get anywhere from 250 to 350 people at those barn dances. In fact, I think that we've surpassed 400 on occasion. We've had so many people dancing at the barn dance, they've actually spilled out into the driveway of the big house, and they're actually dancing out in the driveway.
And that's for all ages too.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. You'll see kids there. You'll see babies in strollers, and you'll see people in their 90s. So, and people in their 90s dancing too. I've seen that. So, yeah, it's for all ages. Lots and lots of fun. And the Malabar Farm Foundation provides the concession stand, and we always have, there's popcorn, there's cookies, there's brownies. We have all kinds of food. We'll have sloppy joes and hot dogs and sloppy dogs and nachos, and the food's excellent. Chicken sandwiches, pulled pork sometimes, and so there's a lot of good food there. And again, that's a fundraising event for the Malabar Farm Foundation for some of the projects that we do. Then on May the 4th, we have our Old Fashioned Film Festival, which it's held in the big barn, and it's a classic movie night in Malabar. So we'll have popcorn, we'll have hot chocolate, and we'll have soft drinks and so forth. There's also concessions available, but we'll have free stuff too. But we will feature a film that was made from one of Louis Brumfield's books. Last year we had I think it was called Little Johnny. And the year before that was Mrs. Parkington, and I'm not sure what she has lined up for this year. But there were some 15 movies made from different books and short stories that Louis Brumfield wrote. So that's kind of a lot of fun. You get to see one of his movies up on the big screen. And those are movies that were made back in the 40s and 50s. So unless you have TMC, you don't usually get a shot to see some of those movies.
Right.
I'm hoping that they show The Rains Came, because that was the one that won the Academy Award back in 1939 for special effects against The Wizard of Oz and The Burning of Atlanta and Gone with the Wind.
Oh, really?
And it won. Yes. Yes. Believe it or not.
Okay.
Yeah, that was the story of The Rains Came was the story of a massive flood that took place in India. So the flood beat out The Burning of Atlanta and The Wizard of Oz and the Flying Monkeys.
Oh, wow.
and the premiere, the movie premiere for The Rains Came was held in Mansfield, not in Hollywood.
Right.
So that was a first. That was a first. It was held in both of the theaters at the time in Mansfield. There were two ongoing theaters, the Renaissance, and I can't remember the name of the other one. But both of them held the opening that same night. So that was a big thing for Mansfield back then, and that was 1939. So then May the 4th starts our first night haunt. And I've talked about night haunts before with Charlie, and this is another event that I'm trying to rope Mike in. The night haunt features characters in the cemetery where all the Brumfields are buried and where a lot of people from the Valley's history are buried in the Olivet Cemetery, which is on the property there. And so what we do with this is we start you off at the visitor center, and we have some people there that are paranormal experts, and they do a lot of work in the house, the big house, and they'll start off by telling you what they have either recorded or taken pictures of or whatever in the big house, and then put you on a wagon and we'll take you down to the Celia Rose house, and you'll learn all about Celia Rose and how she murdered her family over a jilted lover. And then we'll put you back on the wagon. You'll go up to the cemetery, and all the characters in the cemetery will come alive. They'll each tell you a little bit about themselves. Then you'll get back on the wagon. You'll go back down to the visitor center. You'll have a chance to make some hot dogs and some s'mores over an open fire, have some lemonade and a cold drink, and then get back on the wagon and ride up to the big house, which is all dark. And you'll hear some stories about things that have happened to some of us volunteers in the big house. And then we'll turn you loose in the big house, and you can explore the big house on your own. 32 rooms in the big house. Darkened.
Yes, big house.
Big house.
Imagine that without lights. Yes.
Yeah, it's kind of fun. It's kind of spooky too, especially after you've heard some of the things that the paranormal people have run up against when they're in their exploration of the big house. And we do one of those every month in May, June, July, and August. So we do four of those throughout the summer, and those are limited, by the way. We can only take, I think, up to 30 people on one of those tours. So if you're interested in those, I would even suggest signing up now.
And how do you sign up?
Go to the website malabarfarm.org, and you'll click on events, and you'll find Night Haunts. Click on that, and it'll tell you how to do it. I think it's $30, but it's well worth the charge. We've never had anybody complain that they were overcharged for the event. So, again, those are June, July, August, May, June, July, and August. Also in May, we have Spring Plowing Days. That's May the 18th and 19th, and that is an event that's mainly taken over by the Central Ohio Draft Horse Association, where the members will bring in their draft horses and they'll demonstrate their plowing skills, and there'll be some contests and some different things going on, and that's all held down at the working farm, because we are not only a state park, but we are still a working farm. We have about somewhere in the neighborhood of 50 to 65 head of cattle that we raise and butcher every year, and we sell meat up at the visitor center. And also, when the Malabar Inn is open, they feature the beef that we have on, that we grow on the farm. So, and we do farm about 280 acres grass. I'm sorry, with corn and wheat and so forth. So, again, Spring Plowing Days, May 18th, 19th. That starts at 11, runs till 4. In July, we've talked about the barn dances. We've talked about the night hunt. Our big event in July, then, not to say though, those aren't big events, but our really big, or as Ed Sullivan would say, our really big event is the Sunday Drive Car Show. And Mike, you made it last year to the car show.
I did make it to the car show last year, yes.
It's held the last Sunday of the month, which this year will be the 28th of July. Starts at noon, runs till 4, totally free event. Again, we'll have concessions there in case you get hungry. Last year, I think we surpassed 300 cars at the event. We look for at least that many or more this year. I know last year we featured cars from the 60s. Not quite sure what she's – or was it 50s last year? I think it was 50s last year.
There were a lot of 50s cars.
There were a lot of 50s. Yes. I think it was the 50s last year. Not quite sure what year they're going to feature this year, but we welcome any antique or vintage collector car. You can either – you know, even if it's an unusual car, I think we've had Andy Griffiths patrol car there from the Andy Griffiths show from Mayberry. We've had we always get Louis Jeep out and have that available. But we've had cars all the way back to the turn of the century, before the turn of the century, all the way up to modern day cars. We had an Indianapolis 500 car, I think, there last year.
I believe
you
did.
If I remember right, yeah. So, we'll have music. There's a DJ there playing all the time, and then there's live music and entertainment up by the big house, too. And the big house will be open, by the way. You can tour the big house if you like. There'll be some old-fashioned foods and just all kinds of fun events going on. And, again, that's free. There is an entrance fee if you want to put your car in the judging, because they do give out some nice trophies and prizes for that, and dash plaques for the cars. So you do have to register your car if you're bringing an antique or a collectible car. But that, again, is the Sunday Drive Show on July the 28th from noon to 5. So that takes us up through July.
Question about that.
Yes.
Car show. Will Elvis the Pelvis, or will Pelvis be there? I'm sorry.
You know, I'm not
what's
sure.
His name?
Pelvis. Elvis's older cousin. Yes, he was there last year. I'm not sure whether he'll be there this year or not.
Okay.
It just depends on what the powers that be want.
Okay.
If he isn't there, I'm sure Groucho Marx might make an appearance.
All right.
He's been known to be there before. Real quickly, I know we've only got, a couple of minutes to go here. I'm just going to mention two things that are coming up at the Mohawk Historical Society here in March and April. The one in March is going to be on March the 21st. Now, a few years ago, the Mohawk Historical Society bought the old Melmore Town Hall, which was originally the Opera House in Melmore,
right.
built in 1910. And we have, ever since we bought it, and I think we bought it in 13, 14, maybe some time gets by so quickly. But we've been doing a lot of concerts up there. The acoustics in that place are absolutely phenomenal. If you've ever been to a concert or never been to one at the Melmore Town Hall, boy, you ought to try to catch this one because it's going to be a good one. March the 21st at 7 o'clock in the Melmore Town Hall, also known as the Stoner Pittman Auditorium, located in beautiful downtown Melmore, Ohio. Very accessible from Marion by just getting on Marion-Melmore Road and driving all the way up.
Okay.
It'll get you there very easily. We're going to have a group called Living Water. They're going to open our 2019 concert series. Their mission is to bring the good news of the gospel message through music for the glory of God and the benefit of His church. The group performs around the state at churches, fairs, festivals, nursing homes, and different cultural events. Their song selection is a mix of traditional hymns, southern spirituals, and country gospel. The group is also known for their lighthearted spirit. Audience members can anticipate an evening rendition of Johnny Cash's Daddy Sang Bass when performing live. Band members are both from Hancock and Wyandotte counties and include Stan Howell, who does vocals and electric guitar, Dave Neal, who does bass guitar and vocals, Jeff Cheney, who I know does
You're
acoustic guitar.
You're listening to WWGH Radio 107.1 FM,
banjo,
your place
Dan
for
Smith.
Politics.
Are we done?
For Republican President.